Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, what a joy to be able to gather in your name, and may we set aside the worldly things for just a moment and just focus on you. And Lord, how we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, how we thank you for your love for us, how we thank you for saving us, how we thank you for the precious promises. And so, Lord, as we continue in the way you taught us to pray today, may we understand even more fully, maybe, these familiar phrases and familiar words that we have literally probably prayed thousands of times. And so guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, we're in the what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really not the Lord's Prayer at all. It's a model prayer, a pattern prayer. But let us sing it together, and then we will look at the last three petitions of that today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Well, if you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, today we'll be in verses 11 and 12. In the first part of verse 13. And the last two times we have been in this prayer, and the first time we just looked at our Father in the heavens. Our Father in the heavens, sanctified, set apart, holy is your name, hallowed be your name. And then we looked at the first three petitions last week. The first one was really more of a praise than it was a petition, but your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we begin our prayer, the model prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray, with looking to Him, looking to our Father. The address is to our Father, which was such a radical concept at that time. Our Father in the heavens, and hallowed be thy name. And then after asking and praying for what's already promised, because has the Lord promised that his kingdom will come on earth or not? And of course the answer is yes, but even though the promises have been made by the Lord, that's the time to initiate our prayer and not the time to cease praying, saying, well, it's going to happen anyway, I don't have to do anything about it. But here we're taught to pray, your kingdom come, and your will be done. And it will be, but it is not yet, because Satan is still in control of this earth, as we know. Well, today we get into, there's three petitions for us. And the first one is in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. There's really seven words there, and it looks to me like there's about six different things that we see there. First, we're asking for bread. That's sustenance. That's not dainties, that's not donuts and French waffles, that's bread. But give us our bread. And then we see daily bread. We're not really praying for bread for tomorrow or for bread for next year. We're actually praying for bread for today. And we have the same intimation on down through forgiveness here, I think, in the next petition. But we have the daily bread, and then notice the pronoun here, our. It's not give us this day my daily bread or anything else other than, again, the spirit of unity, our daily bread. And then when it's this day, we need to pray, as already was mentioned by Peggy this morning, we need to pray with expectancy of the blessings of the Lord. And this day, we're praying this day for our daily bread, aren't we? And then it's give us, it's not give me. Most of our prayers are give me, isn't it? Give me my bread, Lord. No, it's give us this day our daily bread. And that is, I think there is implied in that, the need for us to, in effect, earn our daily bread. I don't think this is a prayer to the government in the White House or the Washington, D.C., send me my welfare check. I think we're to earn our daily bread. And then give. We're not asking the Lord to anything other than what he wants to do anyway, and then he gives us everything, doesn't he? He is the giver of all things. And so, although we know he will take care of us, we are to ask him, are we not? So give us this day our daily bread. So that's the very first personal petition. And for us to be in a good spiritual state, we need to also be in a physical state, don't we? I mean, if we're starving, totally starving, we're not going to be able to do anything else, really, are we? And then the next verse, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. And I think the daily intimation continues on in that. We show a period here in the New King James, give us this day our daily bread, period. But then it's and I'm not sure we even need a period there. I mean, it would be obviously a run-on sentence. But the thought is, our daily bread and forgive us. And do we not need forgiveness every day? Do we not sin every day? And are we not to ask for forgiveness every day? I think our debts here really are our transgressions. I think it's our moral aspects more than it is our monetary aspects. I don't really think we look at dollars and cents here. Forgive us our debts. I think our debt to the Lord is our sin, is it not? But forgive us our sin. Forgive us our trespasses, our iniquities. And then there's a comparable in here, as we, just like. Forgive us our debts, just like we forgive those who have come against us. Interesting, isn't it, that would be the comparable for us to daily forgive those who come against us as well. And so, again, this is not necessarily, I've loaned you $10, and so now I'm going to pray that I'll just forgive that $10, and so I've forgiven my debt. I don't think it's that kind of a debt. I think it's really a moral obligation. It's a moral aspect of forgiving us our sins, just as we would forgive others who might come against us in some way. And if we are unforgiving in our hearts, we know the parable where the fellow had owed a huge amount of money, and he went and he beseeched the lender to forgive him, and the lender did. But then he turned around and went out to another fellow who owed him just a little money and threw him in the debtor's prison, remember? And so then the master became very upset with that and took care of him. So we are not to really pollute the Lord's Prayer, for example, of asking for forgiveness for ourselves and then turn right around and not forgive others, right? So forgive us our debts as we, or just as we forgive our debtors. And then the last petition here regards our asking that we not be led into temptation, or in a way not be permitted into temptation. Now, temptation is all around us, and there's nothing wrong with temptation. In fact, we can't do anything about temptation because temptation is there. But what can we do about it? We can not yield to it, right? So do not allow us, so to speak, to yield to temptation. And can you get through a day without that? Probably not. Maybe an hour, can you not? Maybe not. But we need to ask. And these are such obvious things, aren't they? Because we know we sin. We know we're to forgive others. We know we're not to yield to temptation. But we do, don't we? How often we do. And what did Jesus tell the disciples in the garden there? He says, watch and pray lest what? lest you enter into temptation. Well, they went to sleep, and they certainly went into temptation. I think their temptation probably there was fear, and of course they were so fearful they all scattered, didn't they? But of course this was again in keeping with the prophecies that he would bear the sin, he would bear it alone. It would not be, and I think maybe that's even the reason why he healed the ear of Malchus the servant, because if Peter would have been included in that and would have been crucified at the same time, it would have messed it all up, kind of a thing. But here we have, do not lead us to temptation, but deliver us from evil, unless we fall into temptation. And so we're asking for deliverance from the evil one. God has left the evil one in control, has he not? I mean, he was defeated on the cross, wasn't he? We're told very clearly in Hebrews that Jesus defeated Satan by his death on the cross. Well, that was 2,000 years ago, and Satan's still here. And we have tares in the wheat, don't we? We have a resistance to the gospel in every tribe, tongue, and nation. And that resistance partially is in the form of the evil one. And so just as we ask for our daily bread, we need to ask for deliverance from the evil one. Now, we know that he can't have us, right? We know that he can't consume us. But we also know that he will prowl around and he will be bothering us and tempting us. And we're asking for deliverance from that. And we have the plural pronouns all the way through this prayer. It's our and us and us and us and us. Do not lead us into temptation. So implied in that seems to me we're praying for one another, aren't we? We're not just selfishly praying. So when Jesus said to the disciples, as they said, teach us to pray, and he said, in this manner, therefore, pray, I think he's asking us to pray for our brothers and sisters. In the case of the lost, he's certainly asking us to pray for them, is he not? So do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we'll finish that last part of the prayer in a couple of weeks when, Lord willing, if he hasn't taken the church home yet, we'll finish that when I get back from Brazil. So, Father, we thank you for this model prayer. We thank you for these three petitions, for praying for ourselves and others. And we thank you for your intimacy. We thank you for your putting within us the need for you every hour, the need for you every minute, really, Lord. And how can we get through a day without you? We can't. And here the model prayer intimates that. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this model prayer. And, Lord, whether we pray it just the way it's written, or whether we just use it as a model, Lord, either is fine, I believe. And we just thank you for it. So now here we are to pray. And primarily this morning we will be praying for others. And so prompt us in the areas of prayer that we would be praying as we ought. And so, Lord, lead us now by your Spirit. And may we, although several in number here, may we pray as in one accord. And, Lord, may we really listen to how you're leading whoever is praying at the moment, that we would be in agreement and we would be one with another. So, Lord, help us to keep our prayers short, because I don't think you will speak to us and say, pray the next hour in this manner, but, you know, the next idea or two that you put on our hearts, whatever that is. And we would just be very victorious this morning in these moments together, because we are being prompted by you. And this is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And we know that if you hear us, you will grant us the petitions that we have asked. So lead us now in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.